These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you've got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon from the Allstate Skyline Studio, the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You heard John Najarian's voice there from CNBC. He is on frequently the halftime report. And right after that, he takes off his makeup and joins us to talk about what he sees in Wall Street. So we're hoping to connect with John a little bit later in this hour, actually very soon with any luck. But we'll talk about the fact that the Dow is in record territory again today. It currently is up, I think, about 120 points, 122 on the day, up 0.46 when it comes to the percentages. So numbers are going up. How does that impact you when it comes to your investing? Happy to say Andy Smith will be back on the program. He's the Executive Vice President of Financial Engines. Great guy. Andy joins us from time to time, and we'll talk about that. You know, are stocks overvalued? And if you are sitting on a nice stock portfolio, is it time to give it another look and to just understand where you are? Because this can't last forever, right? Also, later in the program, Colin Hinkle, who's the owner of Soaring Badger. Can't wait to find out if he went to UW. But Soaring Badger is a company, it's a drone company in Chicago, and they work with the TV stations, film crews, commercial estates as well, where they will go up in the air and shoot, whether it's an action scene for a TV show or commercial real estate, things like that. Colin Hinkle was one of the first to do that in the city of Chicago, so we will kick that around with him a little bit later in the show. Also, the Facebook data breach we talked about last week, maybe see what sort of impact that's having on people's behavior this week. Have you changed the way you are watching your security online because of the Facebook breach? Now, Kim, all of that's going on, and we're also watching the courtroom, right, for the Jason Van Dyke trial. And are they in a lunch break now?
No, there's one more witness who's testifying right now, and then they're going to a lunch break.
And do we know what's going to happen after the lunch break?
We don't.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we are getting reports that Jason Van Dyke may take the stand, but we don't know for sure yet.
I think it was Channel 9 who reported. I think they used the phrase very likely, which is interesting. Now, you know, I know you've covered a lot of these trials, and over the years, defense attorneys often will float the idea that their client will take the witness stand, but in the end, they don't. If he were to testify, that would be a very rare occurrence, right?
I think so, and it's also very interesting because there must be a lot of rumblings. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of clergy in the courtroom today calling for calm, and so I think they're preparing everyone for what could happen.
Yeah, well, we'll see if he does it. So do we have a witness list for what happens after the lunch break, or we really don't know?
I have not seen one, no.
Okay, so that's Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom. She'll be standing by for that.
And if he does testify, Steve, we will carry it live.
Oh, really?
So, yes, we will carry his testimony live, so we will let everyone know if that, in fact, does happen.
And chances are, if it does, it would be at least not for another hour or so.
Exactly. They're going to take an hour lunch break as soon as they're done with this witness.
All right, Kim Gordon in the newsroom. Keep us updated. If there's anything new you need to let us know, please just jump right in. We're waiting for John. You know, John sometimes, he's a remarkable guy. He travels the world. He'll call me from Monaco or he'll call me from Santa Barbara. I'm always amazed that he doesn't take a week off. But sometimes we do have trouble connecting with him, and this seems to be one of those weeks. It gives me a chance to bring up, I'm kind of embarrassed, you know, I talked several weeks ago about the fact that we've got this Dave Ennett trip to Northern Italy that's going to go next June. I think it's June 16th or 17th, and I'm building up a mailing list. You guys have sent me a lot of email addresses because you want to be the first to get the jump on it, and we just haven't quite been able to pull the trigger on it. Dave's going to go to Florence and Venice and Cinque Terre. It will be on the itinerary, I think, Lake Como. But the problem is there were big events in Florence, so we've had issues getting the hotel rooms. We're pretty particular about which hotels we use. Then we reconfigured the dates and had trouble in Venice. So my partners are working on it. If you're on the mailing list, I haven't forgotten you. I'm leaving with the group for England on Friday, but I really hope to have this out to everyone by the end of the week. I don't know if that will be the case, but we're going to give it a shot. So if you are on the mailing list, I haven't forgotten you. Info will be coming soon. If you are interested in joining Dave, it's going to be a great tour. You can send me an email at steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. And we'll be sure to put you on the email list, too. The Switzerland trip, my trip for next June, literally filled up in 2 weeks. So it's best to get a jump on it if you're interested. Steve@SteveBertrandTravel.com. All right, I think we're going to have to punt because we're not having much luck with John Najarian. I will tell you that one of the interesting stories on Wall Street today has to do with Amazon and the fact that they are going to raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour, and that will put pressure on other retailers like Target, like Walmart, to follow and do the same. In fact, Amazon said that they are going to try to encourage others to raise the minimum wage. They're going to work on increasing the federal minimum wage. So that is playing out on Wall Street. PepsiCo has been down because they talked about the fact they're going to have to increase prices in part because of the increased cost of aluminum and things like that. You heard Orion talk about automakers and their report today that car sales were down a little bit in September, especially when you consider September a year ago. Oh, and good news, one more car company, Tesla, had some positive news today. We talk a lot about how things aren't going well there, but they've had a big surge in car deliveries. In fact, the company handed over more than 83,000 cars in the third quarter. That is double what it did in the 3 months prior. So there you go, Elon Musk, a little good news to chew around. Matt Schultz is on a phone line. He's the chief industry analyst at comparecards.com. Matt, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
I was reading a study you guys did, and I know we're going to talk about Facebook, but I was reading a survey that your company, comparecards.com, just completed not too long ago. And, you know, it sort of reflected my view, and I think this is a bad thing, but it said 52% of us are no longer that worked up when we hear about a data breach because we just assume our stuff is out there anyway, and it's no longer anything to get alarmed about. What do you make of that number?
Well, it didn't surprise me. The truth is that data breach fatigue is a real thing, and a lot of times when these big breaches come out, it essentially becomes kind of white noise because there are just so many of them. But unfortunately, what that means is that some people are going to let their guard down and are not going to quite realize that protecting yourself from identity fraud is a forever thing.
Well, but
and it's something that you need to keep your eyes on for a long time.
Okay, we'll get to that. But, I mean, how about the fact that, I mean, I've had to change credit cards. I've had, you know, TJ Maxx or whatever, you know.
Sure.
So chances are my stuff's out there, right? I mean, chances are my information is in the hands of, if not all of the bad guys, one or two of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The fear isn't that that people are too afraid of it. The fear is that people become numb to the whole thing and don't do anything.
Right.
So people need to build financial identity theft checks into their financial routine. And we're all super busy, but the truth is it doesn't take a lot of time to do things like checking your credit score or checking your online financial statements more often, and it's important.
And we're talking just because of the Facebook breach. Was it $50 million they announced? I think it was last week or the end of the week before. And I think sometimes we think of Facebook as being a little more benign than our bank or a retailer that we work at, because we're not necessarily engaged in financial transactions through Facebook. But really, we probably are a lot more than we think.
Yeah, and really the biggest thing could simply be that a lot of people use the same password on a lot of different sites. And if somebody gets access to your information about one site, they can take a shot and use that information from one site on another site that you might have, and it may end up working. So what this Facebook thing should be is hopefully a wake-up call to folks to pay a little more close attention to things like passwords and just the and just general awareness of sites like Facebook.
I want to ask you a little bit about that, though. So, right. So let's say I'm one of 50 million people who's information was taken in the Facebook breach. Okay. And I have a password that I also share with Macy's or my bank or whatever. If I'm one of 50 million, How do the people who steal that information, I mean, they're not going through, they're not looking for Steve Bertrand. Okay, let's see if he's got an account at Macy's. Okay, let's see if it's the same password, right? I mean, it's not that individual. How is it that they would exploit that information to find my password and my identity with other institutions?
Well, it's hard to know exactly how it would work, but the truth is that if somebody gets a hold of a batch of people's information, whether it's passwords or whatever, they may go through and take a subset of those folks and try and use their information to accomplish various things. It's similar to if your credit card is stolen, somebody may take your card to a convenience store and buy a $2 pack of gum, $2 something,
right,
to make sure that that information still works. So it's true that the odds are fairly low that your information would be used out of 50 million, but the truth is that people's numbers come up all the time, and you want, right, to be prepared and you want to be watchful.
Somebody's getting ripped off, and better not sure it's not you. Okay, so I'm reading advice, and it's been a long time, I have to say, a long, long time, Matt, since I've changed my Facebook password, but you think that's a good place to start?
Yeah, it is a good place to start, and if only because a lot of people, as I was saying, use the same password in multiple places, and if there are things that you can do to change up your passwords, to mix in different ones that you've never used before, that's a really useful thing, and this is a good time to do something like that.
Matt Schultz is the Chief Industry Analyst at CompareCards.com. Matt, it was great to talk to you. Hope we can do it again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, we're watching Wall Street today. The Dow is up 155 points. That's record territory by my count. Let's ask an expert. Andy Smith is on a phone line, the Executive Vice President at Financial Engines. Andy, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? How you been?
So good to talk to you. I've been really well. How was your summer? Summer good?
It was good. Didn't really go too much, go anywhere too much. So just like to have the kids kind of go out and be kids and not get them too overscheduled these days.
I know you're an Indianapolis guy, but I'm sure you're rooting for Chicago tonight and not Colorado.
Absolutely. So I was at a friend's house the last weekend. They said, "So you more of a Cubs guy or you more of a Sox guy?" And so I thought I was going to be there for about 3 hours. Ended up being there for about 15 minutes because they didn't like the answer that I gave about that I was a Cubs fan.
Well, all right. So we're looking at Wall Street, right? Record territory, and the stock, yep, things keep going up, it seems like. And I'm just wondering, you're the expert. What are you telling your clients at a time like this?
You know, we're really trying to talk about risk. Think about this. So the majority of adult males are not 6'1" or taller. The average height's like 5'9". So when you think about the market, the S&P right now is trading at 12 times earnings. We're basically at a 90% historical percentile. In height terms, the market's basically saying everybody is 6'1" or taller, and there's a lot of risk, there's a lot of kind of fluff right now, so we're trying to talk with clients about what they need to be doing to get ready here for the rest of the year.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean there's a big correction coming, or what are you telling me?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that a correction's coming. You know, stocks could be priced for perfection. It means that corporations could be a little bit more leveraged than ever before. It means that equity valuations are a little bit more expensive. But with clients and with investors, it means that now may not be the time to amp up risk. Everybody loves to buy when they see green. Everybody loves to buy when the markets are up. But, you know, since 98, you know, the earnings, value to sales ratio, it's like two standard deviations. We are above the long-term mean. So going back to the height analogy, now the market's saying that everybody's taller than 6'3" out there, and this just isn't the case.
Okay, I'm a layman, and I listen to you say those things, Andy, and I hear that then there's a reckoning coming. But you're not saying necessarily there's a reckoning, but it's just time to rebalance, to look at what you're holding, or what exactly should we be doing here?
Yeah, this is not a reckoning. This is me not. This isn't me telling people to go out and buy.
I mean, I'm six four, so you're not to me yet, but you're getting closer.
I realized as I was going through this, I was like, oh my gosh, you're a tall drink of water. So this is a little bit different. But look, I'm not telling people to go out and buy baked beans and whiskey and go out and live in a cabin in the woods. I'm just saying that, look. You know, there may be some temporary dislocations, okay, some sort of bubble. You've got the Dow Jones Ecom Index, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Facebook. It's up like 617%. You've got the U.S. tech market cap of $60 trillion, bigger than all of the companies in the Eurozone combined.
Wow.
Okay, so there's just some things to be aware of. I am not saying head for the hills. I am not saying sell everything. I'm just saying with my clients, we're trying to talk and find the least amount of risk that you got to take on in order to be able to reach your goals.
And so what sorts of vehicles are, what are you talking about there?
You know, again, we're managing risk when we can, not when we have to, all right? So we're using more than just simple returns to figure out what sorts of investments that we want to be in. We want investments with lower downside volatility. We want investments with less severe drawdowns. We want investments with less frequent drawdowns. So at some point when the market turns, you don't necessarily want to be in an investment that's just going to do whatever the market does.
Right.
So as we talk with clients, find the least amount of risk. Look, you know, what are you doing with international stock? What are you doing with bonds as we move through a rising interest rate environment? Overall, stocks, bonds, cash, you know, find the least amount of risk that you got to take on because you're living longer, your goals aren't changing. Don't take on too much risk when you don't have to.
You talk about international stocks. So how do the international markets compare when it comes to the U.S. market? They're not quite as exuberant?
Not necessarily that. So a lot of the talk is focused on Chinese markets versus U.S. markets, especially in light of the trade war, quote-unquote. And so when you look at what has happened with U.S. stocks versus Chinese equities, you know, Chinese equities, they've had a tough ride. Bear market territory. When we saw the trade announcement here just a couple of days ago, Chinese stocks, you know, did incredibly well. But, you know, it's really trying to find who is going to be the most sensitive and the least sensitive to changing trade talks. We saw this with, the trade announcement here yesterday or Sunday with the United States, Mexico, and Canada.
Nice one.
I would say still focus on how much risk you're taking and why you hold a particular investment. Don't just collect things. Know what they do and what their purpose is within your overall allocation. That's really the key right now.
All right. I know that you're here to help people, right? So how do people find more information from you? I live
Look,
you guys have an office in Northbrook, which is, I ran across that just the other day. In fact, I think at a nearby restaurant or something. I'm like, oh, there's Andy's spot.
Yeah, Northbrook, Oakbrook, Orland, but financialengines.com is a good first, good first step. Look, if you're working with a broker, if you're working with an advisor, talk to them, all right? Figure out what they are doing and how they're trying to help you. But if you're going it alone or if you talk to the broker and they just want to sell you something, that's really when you want to start to reach out and get a second pair of eyes on what you're doing because risk will continue to be an issue. Volatility will continue to be an issue. But reach out, get some help. Financialengines.com, and we'll go from there.
Andy Smith, great to talk to you. I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Buddy, take care. Have a great week.
We'll talk again soon. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Welcome back. You've tuned in to the Hotel Union Strike Update. So things are moving along somewhat slowly with the hotel strike, as now there are only 10 hotels left that are still holding out with their union workers, fighting for better benefits and wages year-round. The bucket banging and chanting in front of hotels has reached day 25, but Hyatt is still holding out on their negotiations, and things are heating up as the holiday season approaches. It's a busy time for hotels, so they're going to need extra hands, and the workers have shift opportunities, so who will come to terms first? The negotiation table's set and ready for whoever wants to take a seat, kick back, and start chatting. But no relaxing for logistics startup Project 44, since they just raised $45 million to further their tech platform. It comes to a total of $90 million raised so far, and they're going to need that money because they're the unsung heroes of the shipping and handling world right now. We've set somewhat of a standard for ourselves expecting one or same day shipping of goods. Thanks for spoiling us, Amazon. But when big businesses compete, consumers win. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's community bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, I'm just thinking what those cows would look like from above. Maybe a drone flying overhead as you look down on the World Dairy Expo and the judging. And the guy who can get that done for us is Colin Hinkle, who is the owner of Soaring Badger Productions and is on a phone line now with us. Colin, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. First thing, Soaring Badger, does this mean you have a little Wisconsin in your blood?
I don't. No? I actually just nicknamed my daughter that, and that's where the name came from.
Wait,
but thank you, though.
No, you nicknamed her Badger?
I did, yes. Yeah. That's her little nickname.
And how is she with you now? You're still in speaking terms and everything's okay?
We are. She's trained to fly drones.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, so we've never crossed paths, I don't think, right? But you have worked in Chicago TV news for quite a long time.
I have, yes. I'll be at the Cubs game later today.
Shooting for whom?
CBS2.
Okay. And so it's only natural, I suppose, that if you're a videographer with your feet on the ground and you see these changes coming, that you would look to the sky and pursue this drone thing. But tell me about the origins of it for you. When did you come up with when did you think this might be an independent or a side gig for you?
I would say about 10 years ago, I was going up with the local news choppers and doing camera work for them on a freelance basis. And when that began, I really took an interest in aerial video from above and just getting that perspective that I had not seen before.
And that was about the time, too, when the government was coming to terms with it, right, with the FAA, and they were setting up guidelines to require or to provide for licenses. I'm not sure exactly how that worked.
Yeah, it was just slightly before drones became drones that they are today. They were very rudimentary. They had very low-quality cameras attached to them, but they were becoming a thing, and I took an interest in them. And then shortly thereafter is when the FAA caught on to the fact that this was an upcoming thing and started to develop commercial regulation.
And so you need a pilot, right? You need a pilot, someone who knows what they're doing to fly the drones, and also then a photographer in a way, or a videographer, to take the shots. Are they always the same person? Are there teams that do this? How does that partnership work?
It can vary from project to project, but typically what I like to do is have one person who's a pilot in command flying the drone, and then a second person as the camera operator for the drone.
I see. So and the camera operator probably doesn't even have to be unseen, but they probably are?
Oh, yeah. No, they're actually standing right there next to the pilot in communication with them. It's very much of a tandem.
And so you've been doing this for a number of years now, and I see that you've worked. I mean, have we seen your work on television, on TV shows, movies, or where are we most likely to have seen your work?
Honestly, it can be in all kinds of various forms of media. It can be from tonight. There's a golf show premiering on the Golf Channel that my work will be seen in, or like the latest skyscraper that's going up in Chicago. I'll be doing photography or video for that.
Wow. And how's business?
It's been doing very well over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I would imagine. And so you said you sort of got the idea when you were flying around in a helicopter. Are helicopter reporters and pilots, are their days numbered? I mean, is it going to be all drone traffic one day?
No, I mean, absolutely not. I actually just hired a helicopter crew about a week and a half ago to use them to help me out because the skyscraper that I was shooting is going to be very tall, and so I need a helicopter to get the shots required for the project.
But when it comes to video production for TV shows and movies, though, I would imagine this is going to only continue to grow, right? I mean, do you see, what's your forecast like? I would imagine you're expecting big things.
It's become almost the standard on a lot of productions these days to have a drone there as well.
And you're happy that it's a Soaring Badger drone, I would imagine.
I would love if Chicago would get more and more television production here, because that only increases my business. But there's many other avenues too that I've been working with. So every year it continues to grow more and more.
I would imagine if you are someone who runs any kind of a business, you're doing a promotional video or whatever, things look better with a soaring shot from the sky, and that's the sort of work you would do for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of videos. I'm just a small part, usually, of their production, but just adding in that little bit of aerial video typically increases the overall content
right.
that they're trying to push out.
All right, so Colin, anytime you want to come in and do a drone, soaring drone shot over the Allstate Skyline studio here of the Business Lunch, you're more than welcome.
Okay, great. I love to.
Colin Hinkle, the owner of Soaring Badger Productions. Good luck. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Have a good day.